Hey guys, what is up? It's Steve back here with another episode of the Crit Candy Podcast. It is the 16th of February. It's a Thursday, and I haven't done a podcast in about 3 weeks, so we're going to be talking about a lot of games that I have been playing. On today's episode, Final Fantasy X HD, a massive roundup of about six other Final Fantasy games that I've been playing, and also Nidhogg, Dragon Quest Builders, Just Cause 3, Motorcycle Club, Resident Evil 7, and Diablo 3, Reaper of Souls. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Hey guys, so thanks for checking out the podcast, like I just said. Happy belated Valentine's for this week. As many of you know, I have been in a committed relationship with video games for approximately the past 19 years of my life, and I really love them. So I'm going to be talking about loads of games I've been playing at the beginning of this year over the next 25 to 30 minutes. Basically, I haven't put a podcast out for a while because, well, I'm running this site on my own and sometimes life gets in the way and I haven't really had enough time or the inclination to record a podcast recently. But what that does mean is that I've been playing loads of different games and in loads of different situations. And what I did before this podcast was I went onto my PSN profile and I looked through the trophy list, and I did the same on Steam as well. Just to remind myself and refresh myself of what games I'd actually been playing over the past 3 weeks. Because I'd taken some time off work, and then I'd gone back to work, and then I'd taken some time off work ill after that, like an unplanned absence. So, like, I was kind of flip-flopping between situations and playing different games for different purposes, really. And ended up just completely forgetting all of the different games I played. So when I took time off work originally a couple of weeks ago, my main goal was to complete some of the games that I've got on my backlog. So I'm going to be talking about this in an article soon, and I'll go into way more detail about it. But I've got a spreadsheet backlog of my video games. It's up to about 100 games at the moment. That's where we're floating. And these are games that I either want to earn all the trophies on, so I might have finished the story, but I haven't completed the game by getting all the trophies or 100%ing it. That's a few of them. And then a lot of other ones, probably about 75% of the rest of them, are games that I haven't finished the story or the campaign or whatever on. These games on, you know, consoles, handhelds, and the PC as well, all over the place. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this time. I'm going to be sat at home quite a lot. I'm not going to be doing a huge amount. I'm going to get through some of these games. Even if it's only two or three, I'm going to get them off the list. And I did actually managed to do that with a couple of things. And I'm just looking at my podcast notes here. There is definitely a game that I've missed off this that I might have to talk about next week because I can't remember what it is, but I finished something. I definitely finished something comprehensively and put it down. Ah, I know what it was. I'll talk about that. In fact, you know what? We're mid-podcast. I'm live on the podcast. I'm going to type in on my very loud mechanical keyboard the name of the game. We'll get to that about halfway through the podcast. So let's get started. The first game that I played in this three-week period was a PS Vita game, very strangely, but it wasn't originally a PS Vita game. It's Final Fantasy X HD. And I played Final Fantasy X originally when it released on the PlayStation 2. It was my first ever PlayStation 2 game when I was 11 years old. I got a PS2, and I got a copy of Final Fantasy X because I was a huge fan of Final Fantasy 9 before that. And I must have Final Fantasy X. I've got to play that. And it's the first thing I played on the PS2. And it's been a long time since I've actually played the game through to completion. On occasion, I've dropped back in it, and I've tried to do perfect runs. I've got a strategy guide for Final Fantasy X, and I thought, you know, on occasions throughout the past decade, I've thought, I'm going to go back into this game, and I'm going to optimize my run. I'm going to get all of the best weapons. I'm going to do expert sphere grid leveling, and I'm going to really figure this game out. I'm going to destroy it. Never happens. I get maybe 5 hours in and then I drop it. So this time I thought, I'm not going to focus on getting all the special weaponry and all the hidden stuff. I'm just going to play the game through as if it was the first time I played it. Just go through, just not necessarily as fast as possible, but without doing all the side stuff and collecting all the extra aeons and whatever they're called, the summons. So I'm still keeping on with Final Fantasy X, and I'm playing it on the Vita, which is an interesting way to play it. It looks really nice because you've got those. Usually, when you get a HD remaster of a game from the PS2, it still has all those wrinkles and pixelated graphic styles of the, not necessarily pixelated graphic styles, but you know, the resolution doesn't upscale very well, or the textures look quite grainy because they haven't been fully remastered properly. The advantage of playing this game on the Vita is yes, the resolution has been upscaled, but the screen is so small that you don't notice all the imperfections with the graphical quality as much. And they've updated the UI and the heads-up display, things like that. And it looks... Heads-up display? What am I talking about? Heads-up display. This game doesn't have a heads-up display. It's not in first person. The UI design, the user interface, looks more impressive than it did originally. It looks nicer. And the game runs quite smoothly as well, obviously, because the Vita hardware can easily run a PlayStation 2 game. So I've been trucking away at this game, and the nice thing about playing it on a handheld is that I can just go, okay, I'm kind of done for the day. I'm just going to go and sit in bed and play Final Fantasy X. And it's quite a relaxing experience. There's quite a lot of space between battles, and you can talk to people, and it's quite soothing and relaxing until you get into a boss fight with Seymour, and you can't beat it, and I still can't beat it, but, you know, never mind. I'll get back to that at some point and finish that game. Because it's been a very long time since I finished it. And in relation to that, I've been doing a Final Fantasy sort of catch-up. Because I tried last year to catch up on a lot of the game series that I haven't played, and I really should have done. So last year I played a lot of Legend of Zelda games, and frankly they didn't gel with me very well. And I think it's because I didn't have the rose-tinted glasses I needed. But I've spoken about Ocarina of Time and Link to the Past, or Link Between Worlds, and also Majora's Mask 3D on this podcast before. So you can go back and find those. Hopefully they'll be tagged in the podcast notes, and you can search for them on the site if you want to find me talk about those games. But Final Fantasy, I've always loved Final Fantasy, and I've played many of the iterations in the series, mostly from 9 onwards. So I've played 9, I've played 10, I've played 12, I've played 13, I've played 15. I haven't finished 15 yet, but I'm going to get it. I haven't finished 13 yet either, but I will try and finish that. And what I'm trying to do is play a lot of the Final Fantasy games that I haven't touched, or I only put a couple of hours into them, so that I can get a full experience of the series. Because every single one that I try, I really enjoy it, and I appreciate what it's doing. And they put lots of focus on storytelling and characterization, which obviously are things that I'm really interested in. And I love the writing, especially Final Fantasy IX. Always love the writing in that game, and I want to play that again. But I'm focusing on... These are the games that I'm trying to play. This is how you can tell that I've got way too many games to play and not enough time to finish them. I've got a list here of the Final Fantasy games that I'm currently in the middle of completing or experiencing the story of. Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy VII, VIII, IX, XIII, XV. And then obviously Final Fantasy X HD, which I'm playing again. So that's 7 Final Fantasy games, and I haven't even gone back to 5 or earlier than that, which I could do if I wanted to, because they're all on Steam now. So Final Fantasy is an amazing series, and I wish I had the time to go back and complete all these games, but trying to play them all in succession or mixing and matching them does not work well, take it from me. I'd like to go back to them and finish them. I think I might do 15 first, because it's probably the most user-friendly one, because it's the most recent and the most modern, and it looks real nice as well, so that's good. Right, so that's Final Fantasy. Wow, JRPGs take up a lot of my time, and I don't have a lot of time to play them anyway. Next game I played that I mentioned briefly in the intro is Nidhogg. So I had a few people over in about 2 weeks ago, and probably the smash hit of that was Nidhogg, which is one of the best party games I've ever played. It's only two-player, but you can do up to 8-player tournaments on the same console, and it's a 2D, straight-up 2D fighting game, but it's not like an anime 2D fighting game. It is just, like, pixel art, and both players control a little stick man with a sword that looks like a fencing rapier, and the objective is to run to the opposite side of the screen as far as you can for each player. So whoever's on the left, they need to go as far right as possible, and vice versa for the other player, and it's just this thrilling, non-stop action fun. People jumping over each other, throwing swords at each other, rolling underneath them and snapping their necks and keeping going. It's brilliant fun. I mean, there's not a lot else to say about it, but if you often find yourself playing video games in the same space as someone else, then you should be playing Nidhogg. It doesn't cost very much, and it is really fun and surprisingly difficult to master as well. So I would recommend that if any of you have, I don't know, some sort of event coming up where you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have people play video games maybe, or play some FIFA which is a usual go-to game in the UK for people to play, or, you know, I don't know, Madden if you're playing in the US or Canada or something like that, ice hockey games, NHL. All sport games are fantastic for that, but Nidhogg is something you should really try, and just fighting games in general. Tekken, Street Fighter, all of those are perfect for it. And if you're a little bit more adventurous and you want to venture into the world of anime fighting games, I really recommend Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear Xrd, whatever the latest version is, Revelator or something, I don't know, they have stupid names, Japanese fighting games. Try some fighting games, they're good fun. Okay, the next game. Wow, we're not even halfway through the list yet. The next game that I have played, by the way, I'm just going to say there is probably not going to be any news in the show because I have not been keeping up to date with gaming news recently. I read a bunch of stuff about Oculus and ZeniMax and Facebook and courts and trials in the US, and I'm not qualified enough to talk about that stuff, so I'm not really going to discuss American law and stealing trade secrets or not stealing trade secrets and John Carmack and Palmer Luckey. If you're interested in that stuff, like I am, I'm interested in that stuff. I can't really explain it very well, and I don't know the ins and outs. I'd recommend going to maybe GameSpot or something like that to check that out. In fact, you know what? I'll put a link in the description because I've spent 30 seconds talking about it. I will find a good article, and if you're interested in all that stuff with Oculus and VR headsets and ZeniMax and Bethesda, check out the link I put in the webpage entry for this podcast. That's critcandy.com, where this podcast goes up, if you don't know that somehow. Okay, next game on the list is the only actual game that I managed to finish and remove from my backlog, which was Homefront the Revolution. I mentioned this in an article a couple of weeks ago about restoration and building societies and social structures instead of destroying them or tearing them down. Now, Homefront doesn't fit that bill completely because a lot of the game you spend tearing down an existing social structure and an occupying force, but you do it in order to build a fairer, more democratic and egalitarian society, which is a good thing, you would expect, but you cause a lot of chaos during the game at the same time. So most people who have heard of Homefront Revolution probably heard of how it was owned by THQ, and then the rights went to Crytek, makers of Crysis. Lots of people got laid off from each of those companies. THQ shut down completely, and Homefront the Revolution ended up being not very good or optimized in any way. Fortunately, over the past year or so, it has received a multitude of patches, which make it play fairly okay. The gameplay's still quite clunky and inaccurate, but you can get over it if you spend some time with it. And I played it on the hardest difficulty because I'm a masochist, and it took me a while, but I managed to finish it. And I put the game in on on a Tuesday afternoon or something, and I played it for 7 hours in a row and finished the storyline, start to finish, did all the side content, done, getting rid of that game, taking it off my list. And in fact, you know what? Despite the reviews that Homefront the Revolution got, it's actually a fairly fun experience. I enjoyed going through. It was, it was cathartic to remove the influence of the North Korean antagonists from the map. In the same way that doing side quests in open world games tends to be quite cathartic, it was nice to go through and remove enemy influence from areas, which in turn made it easier for me to move around the map without getting shot at by people, which was very useful because on the Death Wish difficulty, which is the hardest difficulty that I played on, you could get hit about 3 times and die. So it was so useful just clearing those people out, and it felt like I was actually achieving something. So that's a game where if you're thinking, hey, I've got 15 hours free, none of the games are really grabbing me, but I quite like the Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4 formula and want to try something like that, maybe first-person shooter, Homefront the Revolution, you might enjoy it. And you can get it for practically nothing because it got reviewed poorly, so you can pick it up for about 10 quid from anywhere. And yeah, it might be worth some time putting into it, seeing what you think. And to be honest, if you're interested in games as more than just an escapist pursuit, it's worthwhile checking out games that get reviewed lowly or poorly instead of just playing the games that get 10 out of 10s and 9 out of 10s so that you can understand the spectrum between well-designed and well-mechanically constructed games in comparison to the not-so-well-constructed games, which is Homefront: The Revolution. It's worthwhile trying out, especially if you're interested to see why it got poor reviews, and it doesn't cost you much for the privilege either. And you never know, you might enjoy yourself. So, bloody hell, I've spent 15 minutes talking about games, and I've still got 5 left. Oh my goodness. This is what happens when you spend 3 weeks without doing a podcast. Okay. Next game is another one which I also talked about in that article about restoration instead of destruction. If you want to check that out, that's on the website. It's got a picture of a little cute guy from Dragon Quest Builders on the front, because Dragon Quest Builders is the game that I played. So in the first ever podcast I did for this website, I spoke about Dragon Quest Builders and how it wasn't grabbing me. And it didn't feel like, although the intention was to make a Minecraft-style game with JRPG questing elements, which to me sounded awesome, it wasn't grabbing me, and it didn't encourage me to come back and keep playing. And I think that's probably still the case, actually. It's still not grabbing me completely, but I went back into it. It was another day where I just thought, I don't really have a huge amount to do today. I'm not at work. What can I play that I've neglected since I bought it? And Dragon Quest Builders popped up as one of those games. And I played it for about 5 hours in a row. I ended up finishing the first chapter. There's 4 chapters in the game, and they're all about 10 hours long, I think. And I ended up finishing the first chapter. And by the end of it, I felt like I was really getting into it. I was going on wiki pages to find out how to construct special items. I was figuring out the most efficient way to collect resources and building obsidian walls around my city so the final boss of the chapter couldn't beat me and destroy all my stuff. And then I completed the chapter and it said, cool, you've beat that boss. Now you're going to chapter 2, where all that stuff that you built and all of those resources you collected are completely gone. Great. All of that work that I put in no longer exists. So that's just completely gone. So I didn't even start the second chapter. I felt like I was a little bit defeatist after that, because I'd put a lot of effort into completing my town and making it look cool and building all these special areas. And then the second chapter started and it just erased all that, and I have to start from scratch again. So that's just something I don't like about that game. I really wish that it would expand upon what you'd already achieved instead of resetting you back to zero and making you start again. But maybe we'll go back to that game at some point. Every time I play it, I get really excited, and then after a few hours, I'm just let down by a design decision like that one, which makes me feel like I'm unlikely to go back, which is unfortunate. But sometimes you have to be negative about games if there's things in them that you don't like. So that's unfortunate. Speaking of games that I have mixed feelings on, another game that I played which I endeavored to complete in the past week is Just Cause 3. Wow. Just Cause 3. If you've ever spoken to me before about open world games, I will tell you unequivocally, the best open world game I've ever played is Just Cause 2. I love it to absolute death. I put 100 hours in, probably, to complete everything. I collected every single item, crate, and vehicle, and combed every corner of that game on multiple platforms. I played it on 360 and on PS3. I love Just Cause 2 that much. It's one of my favorite games ever. So obviously when Just Cause 3 came out in 2015, I think it was, you can probably understandably realize how excited I was for this game to come out. I thought it was going to be incredible, insane. I was going to put 150 hours into it, do everything. It would be my favorite open world game ever. And lo and behold, they changed all the vehicle physics so that they suck, and they made all of the quests boring as hell. The environments are interesting at the beginning of the game, and then the final continent is just a big blob with no distinguishing features. It looked completely different from the second game. And just to put a little cherry on top of the smoldering heap that is Just Cause 3, it runs like crap on PS4. It's like, it's supposed to be capped at 30 frames per second already. This is the type of game that I would love to play at 60 frames per second, because you're blowing stuff up all the time, driving tanks around and helicopters and firing missiles at stuff and planting bombs and launching RPGs. It's awesome. The entire purpose of the game is to cause chaos. There's even a chaos meter as you destroy things that ticks up and you get bonuses for it. It's like Mercenaries. If you ever played Mercenaries on PS2, it's like that, but way better and grander in scale. That is what Just Cause is. And yet, it runs awfully. The one thing you need a game to do where you have multiple objects with independent physics that are moving in different directions, and there's people shooting at you, and there's cars going, and there's helicopters flying around. You need good performance so that all that stuff looks good and the game doesn't grind to a halt. And that is exactly what it does. As soon as you go into a base of dudes and start launching rockets everywhere and flying around on a wingsuit and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, the frame rate just grinds to a halt. A lot of the time I end up playing at sub 20 frames a second, and I can't control my character properly, and I can't maneuver the world properly because the frame rate sucks so badly. And yeah, they've patched it and made it more effective and more efficient, and it uses the hardware more effectively. And I'm sure if I had a PS4 Pro, then it would run locked at 30 frames per second because the CPU is stronger. It's got a better graphics card, all that stuff. But on the base PS4, this game runs awfully, to the point where I could not bring myself to keep playing it and complete the storyline, and that's really unfortunate. Coming from a series that created one of my favourite open-world experiences I've ever played in the past 20-odd years, 20 years of playing games since I was a kid. So I've been really disappointed in Just Cause 3 since I bought it, and I tried to go back to it. I thought, you know what, it's going to have been patched, and it's going to run really smoothly now because they've had so much time to put all this work into it. And it's still just not there. And it's really disappointing. I just can't believe they messed up the physics of the vehicles. How do you do that when they were perfect in the game that you released before? Why would you change them? I just don't understand that design decision whatsoever. And that is a game that I'm so annoyed about because I bought it and thought it was going to be amazing. Right, that is it. I'm not saying any more on Just Cause 3 because it makes me angry. Okay. Let's touch really quickly on another game that I'm playing as part of my little trophy hunting experience, because for some reason, every racing game that has motorcycles in has got easy trophies on it, so I'm playing another one. Motorcycle Club, also a terrible game. Oh, jeez. I don't know why I bought this game, and I don't know why I'm playing it. The camera angle is trash. The bikes handle awfully. It looks like a PS2 game. There's barely any tracks. There's barely any bikes, and yeah, I'm still playing it, and I'm going to play it until I have 100% in it, because it's easy. That is the only reason I'm playing it. Motorcycle Club, I'm really sorry, but this game sucks. Don't buy it. It's really bad. I don't know why I spent £8 of my hard-earned money on it, but oh well. Don't play Motorcycle Club. I'm sorry, whoever made that game. Whoever the developers are that made that, it just sucks. It's crap. There's better motorcycle games. Right. I've said a lot of things about games I don't like in the past 10 minutes. Let's talk about a game I really, really, really like. Resident Evil 7. Oh my god, this game is awesome. Oh, jeez. All you have to do, if you've never even played a Resident Evil game before, it doesn't matter. You don't need to know anything about the Umbrella Corporation or Wesker or whatever all the other characters are. I've only played Resident Evil 5. As far as I'm aware, Resident Evil 7 does not have any ties to Resident Evil prior to this. I mean, it could have some sort of underlying link that you only find at the end of the game. I haven't finished it yet. That's my disclaimer on Resident Evil 7. But if you have any qualms about whether this game is good or not, borrow it off someone, go around to their house, play the first hour of Resident Evil 7. Just sit there. Don't put the controller down, just stare at the screen, turn the lights off, put some big headphones on, and play the first hour of it. It's incredible. The intense, guttural reaction that I had to some of the horror elements of the opening hour to this game was really strong and effective. I don't get on well with horror movies or horror games in general, so obviously my feelings and my emotions towards it are going to be amplified, but this game was it's such a good first impression. But not necessarily a positive feel-good. That is definitely not what they're going for. It's a, you are going to be disgusted and freaked out and scared and terrified. And it really connects you with the character that you're playing. They've changed the viewpoint of Resident Evil for this game from third person behind the back kind of all over the shoulder shooting, which was in the previous games. They've changed it to a straight up first person game. So think things like fractional games, Soma and Amnesia the Dark Descent. Feels like those games. And it does an amazing job of connecting you with the emotions of the character that you're controlling, which is just blind panic, fear, uneasiness, not having any sense of direction. Oh, it does an amazing job. I cannot explain how good this game is. And it sounds weird and almost oxymoronic to say it, but its ability to convey those emotions is so powerful that it makes me not want to play it, but also really want to play it at the same time. I really want to play it because I want to see what it's doing, and I want to see where the story goes and where it ends up, you know, building to, what it builds to. But at the same time, my stomach says to me, or my, you know, my primitive amygdala brain tells me, do not play this game. It makes you feel scared and anxious and terrified. But it does that so well, and the designers and the writers of this game have done an incredible job, and I'm really looking forward to finishing it once I can stomach playing some more of that game, but it's fantastic. You should play it. Speaking of, a final game I'm going to talk to you about today, which is also fantastic, is Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. I've put a lot of time into this game this week, and it's been a long while since I've managed to play or find and play a game which made me engage with its endgame systems successfully. I think the last time I found a game like this is when I played The Division last year in about March, and ended up spending about 2 weeks. 2 weeks after I'd hit max level, just grinding through PvP areas, collecting items, and min-maxing and optimizing my loadout. And that's what I did in The Division. And it's been a long time since I found a game like that. I tried to do it with Destiny, and that didn't really grab me. Once I got to level 40, I felt like I was done. And no MMOs have really grabbed me. I spoke a couple of months ago about trying to play Elder Scrolls Online, and that just didn't do it for me either. Other MMOs just don't grab me either. Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls is the action RPG perfected. I think it is genuinely up there with Diablo 2 levels of astoundingly good loot-driven gameplay. And my current quest at the moment is to get all six of the character classes up to level 70. So level 70 is the max level for a character, and then you have an overall thing called a Paragon level, which any character who's level 70 can contribute experience to that Paragon level. And that's kind of the end game thing where you're grinding for loot and completing bounties and things. And that's kind of the end game content. At the moment, what I'm doing is I'm taking... So for example, this week I took the Crusader class, which is a tanky, shield and mace using sort of cleric strength guy with healing magic and auras and stuff like that. He's quite tanky and strong. I took that guy, I had him at about level 20 at the beginning of the week, and I got him to level 70 2 days later. So I've got three of the characters to level 70 now. I've got a level 70 wizard, a level 70 crusader, and a level 70... what's the other guy? Monk. I did a level 70 monk in hardcore, got him to level 70 without dying once, which was pretty fun. And now I'm doing it with the witch doctor, and the demon hunter, and the barbarian. So bear in mind, this is a game that I played when it released, the original version, in 2012. I played that on PC, and I got my Barbarian to max level on that as well, and now I'm going back and doing it all again for another six characters. That's how good this game is. And I genuinely said to myself this week, one of the best feelings I have in gaming is when a legendary item drops in Diablo, you identify it, and it has green triangles across the board for all the stats, meaning that every single stat would be improved if you equipped it. And it's just a perfect find, because there's no downsides to equipping it. And it's just like, it is that... and I spoke about this, by the way, if you haven't read it, I spoke about this flow state that is achieved, this kind of subconscious flow state that you achieve when playing games like Diablo 3, and also driving games where you master the tracks and you master the environments and the move sets, like in Diablo, and it becomes second nature to play it as you grind through and progress. And that is something that I genuinely achieve in Diablo 3. I can really just shut off the active portion of my mind and just grind without even paying attention to everything. And it's just blissfully ignorant. And every time one of those items drops, the legendary items, and it pops up and that beam of light shoots up into the sky, or when I level up and my character is swirled by golden light, it is just this really primitive, primal, base enjoyment, like influx of chemicals in my head that tells me, yeah, you did a good thing. That was enjoyable. And it's so good at doing that. And it's so good at doing that that it's worrying from a psychological perspective that it manages to achieve that. And it's the same thing that games like World of Warcraft do, that make people in South Korean PC bangs play World of Warcraft for 48 hours and then they get found dead because they haven't eaten or drank anything and they, you know, dehydrate and just sit there in the PC chair for a week. Fortunately, I am not at that point because I have actual responsibilities and things to do, although, you know, my friends might tell you otherwise. But, man, Diablo 3 is just awesome. I'm probably going to go back and play it right now. Before I recorded this podcast, I got home from work and I played an hour of Diablo 3 and leveled up my Demon Hunter. And then I was like, I need to actually talk about some games or write about some games instead of just playing them, because I enjoy doing other things other than just leveling up characters. But, oh my god, I love Diablo 3 at the moment. And they've made so many improvements to it. Since the game originally got released, they've added two character classes. The Necromancer, I think, is the new one, which I don't even have. They added the Crusader in the Reaper of Souls expansion. They added a fifth act to the game, essentially improving the length of the game by a quarter. All the character, the highest level you could achieve went up from 60 to 70 when they released the expansion. They've added tons of endgame content, which means that once you get to max level, there's now tons of stuff to do. Oh, I love Diablo 3. I think to be honest, guys, if I have to pick a video game Valentine for this week, it's Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. I love it. So that's about it, guys. Those are the games that I've played this week. A lot of different things. And when I say this week, I mean about the past month. But, you know, sometimes I don't do podcasts for a little while, and it ends up with me talking crazily about games for half an hour like I just did. So, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. And if you've stuck around this long, I really appreciate it, because not many people can listen to me talk for this long in one go. Once again, guys, I really hope you're enjoying the content that I'm putting up on the site. There will be more podcasts and articles coming your way at the end of this week and at the beginning of next week as well. I will see you guys next time.